I want to say good morning. Time flies, doesn't it? Another day. It seems like we were just here with Tim, and now it's another day. Well, on this third day of Sesshin, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling spaciousness and intimacy in the room, in our practice, and with all of you. In doing the Jindo this morning, walking in front of each of you, it seems the people that I hadn't known before, I'd already met with in Dokusan the night before, and so this morning everybody seemed an intimate and part of this wonderful whole. So I'm very grateful for all of you and for Tim and the leaders here at Red Cedar and the practice they've created and maintained and made available. When there's a little more spaciousness, I think we inhabit the forms a little differently. So once the forms become sort of natural, we don't have to spend so much energy trying to get them right. And then what, you know? I guess there's a danger we just space out. I was doing that at lunch quite a bit, I noticed, during Orioke, my Setsu was never in the right place. But earlier in the day, particularly being Doshi, it seems that when the spaciousness is there, there's room for some deeper expression of our practice of Bodhi. And so that was an important time for me, an important moment when I figured out, well, now I know how to do things right. Now there's something more that can happen. There's some expression that can fill the form. It's not about anxiety, it's about giving. And that's a wonderful thing about our forms in this practice. So if you are new to practice and haven't quite felt that yet, be on the lookout. And be on the lookout for the opportunity to relax into the form and just fill it with your own wonderful expression of yourself. Even during lunch service, when the servers were setting up in the back, you know, it's not ideal to have a service where the servers are setting up the food during the service, but I just felt like the servers had this spaciousness, this quiet. They were moving. The service was moving. It was all a beautiful, seamless whole, so I appreciate all of you helping to make that happen. I appreciated the spaciousness and intimacy of Tim's talk today. Spaciousness in this sort of relaxed presentation and sort of the idea that nothing really needs to be said, but here we are enacting this form of talking and listening. And particularly, Tim, your affection for Nyogen Sensaki that is so evident and really touching. I know you've mentioned him before, and I can feel this. I mean, it's an intimate thing to share with us, and I can feel that that connection that you experience with him. And that intimate connection between him and his teacher, and how they part in the fog, never to be seen again. And yet, Yogin, the student, holds an annual, an honorary sesshin every year on that, on his teacher's, I guess, anniversary of some sort. It made me think of, I think, this spaciousness, it makes room for things to come up, you know. And so I began to think of my own first teacher and how we've been estranged for many years, and wondering if there is more spaciousness in my life and perhaps his, so that maybe we will reconnect. I won't go into the story, but someone in Dokusan came in and talked about an estrangement and a possibility for reconciliation, and that brought it more to the fore for me. And so here we are in this intimate exchange of things arising and being shared and held together. It's really quite something. Quite something. So are you up for one more walk through great faith, great doubt, and great determination? I Dim did a very nice job this morning, and I can see us coming together in a not completely unified, perhaps, but a pretty shared understanding of things. So maybe that'll be all right for you. It's really, for me, it's a practice. It's a practice to turn to when we seem stuck, you know. It's a practice that sort of energizes or gets moving once again, a practice that seems stuck. And so you might have an opportunity to use such a thing, who knows. You might feel stuck sometime. So I'm thinking of it in terms of a metaphor this afternoon. And a metaphor, like many good metaphors, it involves a river. And so I'm thinking of faith as this some scant knowing about this river. Maybe it's just a rumor of a river that is somehow coming from someplace deep and welling up with soothing, refreshing, whatever. That wonderful river. I wonder about the early explorers. You know, many of them were chasing rivers, weren't they? So this river might be the wellspring of bodhicitta, and that's another common image. So this bodhicitta, this faith, this heart sense that wants to come forward is first just a bare trickle or just a bare rumor, just a maybe a sound or a scent of river coming from across the fields. And the more we practice, the more we more our bodhicitta strengthens, our way-seeking mind, the more our faith becomes stronger. It is a result of what we see practice bringing into our life. And so finally there's this little trickle, right? But then great doubt says, well, this ain't no river. You know, this is barely even a trickle. So there are all these obstacles in the way. What about those? So So that's why I'm thinking of doubt as sort of noticing all the obstacles in the river and saying, it's time to do something about this. It's time to address this. So doubt for me this afternoon is a sort of a holy, H-O-L-Y, dissatisfaction. It's a feeling of incongruence between this rumor of the river and this obstructed thing we see in front of us that is our life. So we have this faith, we felt this possibilities of the stream, and yet there are so many things that block the way. So our doubt says, I believe enough in this river that I'm going to address the situation. I'm going to get after it. I'm going to do something. And this is also sometimes termed, I think, the heartbreak of samsara. Samsara, our normal conditioned existence as a separate being. The more we look, the more we just say, this is just breaks my heart. And I know there is this other way. I know there is more. And so this river is something to connect with. And about these obstacles, let me continue with the metaphor a little bit, and then we'll get back to the obstacles. But so determination, great determination. For me, it's a strong element of patience, because there's a lot of work here. Great anger and ignorance arise endlessly. There's always something to meet. There is continuous practice, as Dogen says, or as Tim was quoting this afternoon or this morning. I forget the quote, but Suzuki Roshi's quote about step by step, and Tim's paraphrase of, there's no place to get, there's no end to the path, and there's nothing that you're going to get when you're on it. Something like that. Yeah. It requires patience. And I think it's also a time for skillfulness, for us to begin to say with our determination, well, there are some practices are skillful that open up to this river, and others not so much. And we learn kind of how to work with our minds and our lives and this practice a little bit at a time. And the good thing is, the encouraging thing is that water runs downhill. Right? So we have gravity on our side. That's quite an ally, right? Gravity. There's a number of metaphors about water flowing to the sea, right? And so, what could be easier? And so this practice is about revivifying, unsticking our practice. And so faith seems to me an antidote to discouragement. So when we're discouraged, we somehow reconnect with faith. And this is not always easy, and people say, well, what about that? I think we all have to find our own reconnection with faith. For me, it is sometimes just the freshness that comes with the truth that everything changes. So it's seeing, appreciating the freshness that brings. It's undeniable we can see it as loss or we can see it as freshness. There was a poem written on the sidewalk of my college campus back in the day. I remember climbing up the hill on a winter day and seeing this poem written in chalk. And it's simply, "It's a fresh wind that blows across the empire. It's a fresh wind that blows across the empire." And at the time I thought, well, this is, you know, this is somebody on the plains of the imperial plains that suddenly detects a wind and notices how fresh it is. It's a fresh wind. You know, a moment of mindfulness and appreciation. But as I came to live with it for a while, years, I noticed that it's always a fresh wind, right? This wind is a fresh wind blowing across this empire of the mind. And so it's a fresh wind that blows across the empire if we are awake to it. And the other way I reconnect with faith, I think, is just I'm always astounded at the power of loving awareness and how simply being aware of something without trying to change it, without turning away, transforms both me and the thing. It's a miracle, I think. And so reconnecting with this alchemical process of awareness is a way for me to reconnect with faith. Even just the smallest things, like noticing that I have a preconception about something or some person and letting that fall away, and here this person in front of me is brand new and fresh. What a wonderful thing. And doubt, so I think doubt is the antidote or counterbalance to complacency. And as Tim and I both mentioned, you know, we Soto folks have a little bit of a rap about just a little complacency, sitting there in this beautiful faith and just letting things be the way they are. And so I think doubt comes in and says, hey, things aren't right here. I mean, in a way, everything's perfect, but how, really? Is what you see here perfect? So there's, this incongruity between what we feel deeply in our hearts and what we see in front of us. And so this doubt calls us to action, I think. Whether it's a red-hot ball of iron that we've swallowed and can't vomit up, or whether it's simply stepping off the pole, not simply, but stepping off the pole, or whether it's just simply opening the door and going out into the world. Perhaps it's possible to take our everyday suffering, which, I mean, there's no lack of that, right? There's always this irritant of our everyday suffering. And can we channel that into this holy dissatisfaction of great doubt? Can we say, well, things aren't right here? Yes, obviously. Can that be about practice? Can it be motivating and energizing of practice? And determination perhaps is the counterbalance to impatience, right? We want it now. And of course, Now more than ever do we want it now. And we want some excitement and we want some relief. So patience is difficult to come by. And yet, for me to reconnect with patience, part of it is to just reconnect with this present moment, which is beyond time and result. And again, it is just this here, now, enough, plenty, wonderful. So that's how I'm thinking of it. But now back to this metaphor and these obstacles. Tim and I have been talking about these different approaches that we've upheld. One of them is a very vigorous practice and a pushing toward breakthrough, which would be a vigorous removal of the rocks from the stream and letting the water flow. Maybe a little explosion or two wouldn't be unwarranted. The problem is stuff flies all over the place and you never know who it's going to hit. But nevertheless, then you got to kind of pick up the pieces. Or then there's the the complacent, overly complacent attitude of, let's just let erosion take its course. I can wait, particle by particle. The stream will strengthen, and it will, right? I mean, that's part of our faith, is that it's happening, but we can perhaps, there is something to be done nevertheless, right? And so here is where practice comes. Here's where our basic practice of awareness, of holding things, seeing things as they are, including what I was talking about whenever I was talking, about surrendering to our wanting. And it's like we've made wanting an obstacle, right? We've made our delusions this obstacle. And a lot of the literature speaks of it that way, right? Things would be great if you didn't have these obstacles of delusion that are getting in the way of this river. And, we just got to pitch in and get them out of there however we can. And yet and that's kind of what we start out trying to do, right? But it's such hard work, and they probably roll back into the river, and it's discouraging. So what do we do? Well, what I'm thinking about when I say surrendering to our wanting is, again, this is a sort of alchemical process, this miraculous transformation, but to see that our wanting, our desire, has always been part of the river. It's always been flowing. It's like we've created this imaginary solidity of this thing, but when we just settle into that wanting and that cry of weakness, then we see that, oh, it flows. It flows, and it's part of that river, and it's not separate from our Buddha nature, that long sought after substance. It was there, and it's flowing. So, and this, I don't know, may seem fantastical, but I really do think we've all experienced this to some extent, and so the more we practice, the more we see that what seemed to be an obstacle was already part of the river, already flowing. And that solidity was sort of an imaginary thing. That's a nice story, isn't it? I think it can work. So it was always flowing, right? It's still flowing. And yet this human life seems to be somewhat involved in being an obstacle to that flow, to feeling the tug or the friction or the push. And so, you know, maybe that little obstructing of the flow is what it means to be alive. And maybe that's okay too. And so maybe we can play in the flow and be knocked about a little bit, but still appreciate this human life. That's how I feel today with all of you in this spaciousness and this intimacy that we have arrived at. And that's about all I want to say today, other than, again, thank you so much. Maybe a word about night sitting. Sometimes when I can't sleep, I'll go to sleep for a while, right? And then I'll wake up, something's going on, I can't sleep. I get up and sit. That's the best time to sit for me. It's in the middle of the night. It's like the clock has been turned off, and all the cares of the day, all the things of the day that I need to do, the things that I need to be as part of my day-to-day life, they're all kind of off the table. And so to sit, being nobody in this darkness where the clock is turned off, is quite a different experience and quite a wonderful thing. So even in Sesshin, we have our roles to play. You know, we've got to do something here soon, and something's going to happen any minute, and maybe not soon enough. But in this night sitting, there's none of that. And, we keep our own time. And so time is an interesting thing to play with, I think. I don't think I think the days are gone when I'm going to sit all night long. I have done some of that. But I think even if we don't do that, we can still experiment with this different mode of sitting, this different space of sitting. So either by, staying, not setting a time limit, but staying for a while. Or maybe I'll wake up at 3 in the morning and come right over and sit for an extra 3 hours without the clock and in that darkness. And maybe some of you will be there, and maybe we can share that. I hope so. Thank you for your practice and for being who you are and for sitting in your seat, for wearing your clothes, and most of all for wearing your smiles and those bright eyes. They are.